Well, we are looking at the book of Zechariah today, and I had cause to look at our church website to see if we've done it recently, and lo and behold, it seems as long as the website's been up and running, we've not done it. So let me tell you something about Zechariah. He is a prophet, a minor prophet, and interestingly, after Isaiah, and we're going through Isaiah, aren't we? Zechariah has the most messianic passages. So, visions, basically, looking forward to Jesus. Isaiah is first, many passages there, but Zechariah is second. And I hope what I share with you today will give you a flavour. And perhaps you will go on and investigate for yourself all the different passages that point to Jesus. So let us turn then to Zechariah and read from chapter 4. So if you have a church Bible, it's on page 951. Zechariah chapter 4. Then the angel who talked with me returned and woke me up, like someone awakened from sleep. He asked me, "What do you see?" I answered, "I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and seven lamps on it, with seven channels to the lamps. And there are two olive trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left." I asked the angel who talked with me, "What are these, my lords?" He answered, "Do you not know what these are?" "No, my lord," I replied. He said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by my might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of, 'God bless it, God bless it.'" Then the word of the Lord came to me, "The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Who dares despise the day of small things, since the seven eyes of the Lord that range throughout the earth will rejoice when they see the chosen capstone in the hand of Zerubbabel?" Then I asked the angel, "What are these two olive trees on the right and on the left of the lampstand?" Again I asked him, "What are these two olive branches beside the two gold pipes that pour out golden oil?" He replied, "Do you not know what these are?" "No, my lord," I said. So he said, "These are the two who are anointed to serve the Lord of all the earth." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that, yeah, your word is perfect. It's true. Lord, it honors you. You speak to us now. And help us have ears to hear and be ready to absorb everything that you have to teach us. Lord, may the Spirit be at work this very morning in our hearts. May the Lord Jesus Christ be exalted in everything we say and do in this church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I'm rather thirsty, so bear with me. So, we are looking, it's a one-off today, and we are looking at Zechariah chapter 4, and mainly that wonderful verse, verse 10, "Who dares despise the day of small things?" Well, I've come across a few posts on social media of late, That makes me think, well, small things matter. So if we have the first slide up, came across this general in the American Navy who told his audience, if you want to change the world, make your bed. And I thought, wow, I'm going to make my bed. And I'm going to change the world. And then I came across this second clip. Some sacrifices we make as dads will always go unnoticed. It's the small things, you see. I know for sure that is my sandwich on a regular basis. The small things. And then I thought, well, I can do these memes. I did this one myself. Note to self, take out the bins before she asks you. It's a happy marriage if you take out the bins. The small things. Now, do you think these very small things matter? Do they make a difference? Does anyone pay attention? Does anyone take notice to the very small things? Well, if we have the next slide. In God's mind, in God's work, the small things do matter. Does it matter? And I wonder, when we consider the small things, whether sometimes you are tempted to skip them, to neglect them. Does it matter, for example, that I miss a Sunday service? Or does it matter that I forgot to tithe that week? Those are the kind of questions that the people of Zechariah were asking themselves. Why bother? You see, Zechariah was a prophet. He lived at a time when the people were so discouraged. They had been taken away to Babylon. So the people of Israel had been captured, kidnapped. And that's relevant in today's news, isn't it? Kidnapped. But then, by God's grace, they came back. But what did they see? They saw ruins. And there seemed little progress or little point in any rebuilding project. After all they had endured, what's the point? We see the rubble, don't we, in Gaza at the moment. The collapsed apartments in Ukraine. The destruction following the earthquakes in Turkey. The fires in Hawaii. I think I would be despondent as well. Where do you begin to rebuild? For the Jew, coming back to that scenario, they must have questioned, surely God promised something better, more glorious than this. Isn't the temple that Solomon built, supposed to be magnificent? In which case, what's the difference? Why should I bother moving that brick and placing it there, only to unearth another brick? Tedious work. And I wonder if you come here to this morning and you also wonder, what is the point? This is tedious. Some of you might think, well, the church, it's unimpressive. Long are the days of revivals and those Billy Graham crusades. It's not like that now. This is amateur. It's feeble. Maybe you look at websites and you think, oh, look at that old-fashioned website. I'm not going there. Maybe you come and you think, oh, the hymns are old. Look, and they're still reading the Bible. Maybe you think praying. What is the point? Maybe you think the Christian work is hopeless. I should say, let's have the next slide. Why should we bother with this Christian work? The task is too great. Why bother going to a midweek meeting? Why bother joining the youth club team? Maybe there is opposition to this, to your service. Maybe there's a desire that is pulling you away from doing these little things. Maybe after a harvest season, you are simply weary of serving. Well, my second point is this. There is a gentle rebuke in this passage. Did you notice in verse 10, it says, "Who dares despise the day of small things?" It is God who is speaking, and he is asking the question of you today. Who dares despise the day of small things? It is time for all of us to reflect and assess what matters most to us. Where does your allegiance lie? What answer will you give God? It's a gentle rebuke. It's gentle because it goes on with great encouragement. The whole passage is full of encouragement, but there is a gentle rebuke. Do you despise God's work? Well, don't dare. Don't you dare. Thirdly, we're racing ahead here. Why should we not despair? It's because it's God's work. It's God's work. Let's read verse 8 to 10 again. "And the word of the Lord came to me. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Who dares despise the day of small things, since the seven eyes of the Lord that range throughout the earth will rejoice when they see the chosen capstone in the hands of Zerubbabel." This is God's work, and he will accomplish it. It goes on to say that, verse 7, the mountains will fade away. These small things, well, they might seem small, but God can do great things. He explains in those verses we've read that the world will envy, they will be amazed when Zerubbabel, when he puts the finishing touches to this temple in the rebuild project. It will be worldwide news. And the people, the Jews, will rejoice in that day. And when they see that capstone being placed on the temple, the capstone is like the main stone that holds things together, but it's the finishing touch. You know the feeling, don't you, when we've seen the new bypass here in Newtown and the Cadewine School. One minute there are mountains and there's rubble. And our minds couldn't dream of what it is now. Well, how much more when God completes his work? The transition, the change. Verse 9, Zerubbabel. He is, by the way, the governor of the land. And he starts the work, but he finishes it. He has the privilege of completing his task. The day of small things becomes a day of great things. Glory be to God. But note this as well. God works differently to us. We look for a show of force, don't we? The razzmatazz. We would like appearance, but God works differently. not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. That is how God works. Verse 6. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And so what looks unimpressive today, well, it will be accomplished. And it's the Spirit at work that will achieve his purposes. We have this side of the cross, amazing verses to encourage us and to know that God will complete this work. Matthew 16, verse 18 says, about the church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Or 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11 to 13, we are to build faithfully on Christ's foundation. Philippians 1, verse 6, it says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Completion. A day of great things. Well, it's God's work. My last point is this. The encouragement. I've given you a flavor of the encouragement, but there's more. There's more. I told you, didn't I, there are pictures in this book that point to Jesus. That is our encouragement. This passage speaks directly of him. We have talked about the capstone, this important brick. Well, if I was to give you the word cornerstone, you know who I'm talking about. Jesus is our cornerstone. Jesus' death and resurrection is the foundation of our faith. His work on the cross is the greatest piece of work. I won't go on about the cornerstone because Tim, through Isaiah, will touch upon it. Isaiah 28 will be there shortly. But there is more. Did you notice what strange things Zechariah saw in this vision? He saw a solid gold lampstand and two olive trees. What is that about? Well, Zechariah doesn't have a clue what God is showing him. So Zechariah asks the angel, explain it to me. Well, the lampstand should have been obvious. Maybe not to us. To the Jew, the lampstand is a main ornament in the temple that they were trying to build. The lampstand. Where would you find that lampstand? Well, the temple is made of lots of rooms, and there is the main room, the Holy of Holies. And the lampstand would be just outside in another room. And it would be the only light in the whole temple. And the priests would make sure that that lampstand would never be snuffed out. It would always be burning. That there was always a source of light. What's strange is that this ornament in this vision is outside. And also that it's so bright. But we read about these channels giving it fuel. This was a magnificent lampstand. But what we need to know about the lampstand is that it's a symbol of the presence of God. And more accurately, it is pointing to Jesus. All ornaments in the temple, you can name all of them, and they point to Jesus. In this case, Jesus is our light. He is the light of the world. We've read, haven't we, in John's Gospel, In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. What about the olive trees? Do you get it? Zechariah didn't. Didn't at first, and didn't a second time. He has to ask the angel, verse 11, what are these two olive trees? He doesn't get a response. Verse 12, again I asked him, what are these two olive trees? And then the penny drops. Verse 14, these are the two who are anointed to serve the Lord of all the earth. Are you still struggling? Do you know what these two olive trees are? Well, there are only two positions, two offices that are anointed in the Jewish nation. And that would be the high priest and the king. And being anointed, you would be smeared with oil, a special sign that God's presence was with those two offices. They would never be the same people. There would be the priest and there would be the king. And in Zechariah's day, the priest was Joshua, and the king, although he was an heir, is Zerubbabel. And you can read about Zerubbabel in Matthew chapter 1. He is a descendant of King David, an ancestor of our Lord Jesus Christ. Who combines those two offices? Again, it's obvious, our Lord Jesus. What is our encouragement? Well, it's what Zechariah foresaw. The presence of our Lord Jesus Christ in the form of two olive trees, the lampstand. We are encouraged today, aren't we, that Jesus is with us in doing the small things. We are told in Matthew 18:20, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I with them. So in closing, let's think practical now. What are the small things that you can do today to serve this priestly king? What are you neglecting to do? What do you despise to do? What do you dare to despise to do? Well, maybe, as Lloyd said, today is the day of salvation. Maybe that small thing is simply you calling out, asking for forgiveness. It's not works. We're not saved by works. It is a gift. It's a small thing with glorious consequences. All you need to do is call out to him. It is as simple as that, a small thing. Maybe you are a believer today. The next step is to be baptized. A small thing to show that you are one with Christ, that you've put to death the old self and you are raised with him. A small thing. Maybe you are not a member here and you want to serve and be associated with brothers and sisters from this church. Speak to us. Maybe on a more practical still, Sunday, could we arrive a bit earlier to greet one another, to sit next to someone who is alone? I was reading about Spurgeon's church, the tabernacle in Elephant and Castle in London. And the shopkeeper and a local Jew were amazed that people were queuing to go into the church and the doors hadn't even opened. Imagine the impact the small thing of arriving early would be a witness to the outside world. And if you're here a little bit early, why not come to a prayer meeting at 9:30, 5:30. You saw the prayer meeting there. Do we trust that prayer, albeit a small thing, can result in great things? What about the midweek prayer meetings? What about being prepared for meetings, coming with a word, a hymn? Are you thinking small things? Could we help Tim as he talks in the Oaks care home? What about sticking around for coffee afterwards to encourage a brother and sister who is struggling? Or will you selfishly slink away after the end of service because deep down you don't love that brother or sister? Maybe come Monday you will call a friend, share your testimony. Maybe you will pray for the elders on Monday. Maybe you will be hospitable this week, a cup of tea or a visit. Then there are other meetings, youth clubs, women's meeting, you name it. Saturday, you can help me clean the bathrooms. You can join a team. The small things. You know, Jesus mentioned several small things when he was on earth. He mentioned about praying and fasting in secret. He mentioned about spending time with children. He mentioned visiting those who are forgotten, prisoners even. We read, "For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me." The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers or sisters of mine, you did for me." Small things. May we be encouraged as we read in Ephesians, that passage we read earlier, our work, may we be encouraged. It might look unimpressive, but it's God's work, and he will accomplish what is in his will. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thank you for this glorious vision for Zechariah. Lord, we thank you for all of the Bible, even the minor prophets, how they should foresee pictures of Jesus and be encouraged. Lord, we have so many things to thank you for, blessings that we cannot number. And yet we grow weary, we might despise doing our part. Lord, help us to commit now our lives to you. Help us to think deeply, reflect. Do we dare to despise? And help us to do all that we can to the building up of this church so that it is a witness to the world of your goodness to us. In Jesus' name, amen.